We want to welcome some people to church today. We want to welcome, first of all, little Talia Greenslade, born just this last week or so. Tim and Jess, we want to congratulate you. Where are they? They're around the hall somewhere, in the parents' room, wherever. Little Talia, good to see her in church. And also, is Jacob here today? Jacob's not here today. We need to welcome Jacob. When Jacob's here next time, I neglected to welcome little Jacob Bond just recently. All good to see these new babies in church and families growing and developing. What a good deal that is. Today, we want to congratulate Mr. and Mrs. Malcolm Jacobs. Malcolm and Pauline, would you stand to your feet? Welcome this happily married couple. They were married just recently, and we welcomed Pauline last week, but today she's got a husband with him. Keep bringing him to church. We like him. It's good. Good on you, Malcolm. Congratulations, guys. You ready for a good preach? Before we do that, why don't we welcome new people? Welcome all the new people today. Nice to see you at Impact Church this morning. We'll look after you. Just relax and enjoy yourself today. Hopefully you've already been made welcome. You've received a welcome pack from our connection team. It's a little pack. It just describes a bit about our church, who we are, and how you can be involved in a great church like Impact Church. And what we'd ask you to do is several things. If you could, inside that pack is a red card. If you could fill that out with your information, then we'll follow that through. And we only use your details in terms of contacting you and letting you know what's happening in church life. We don't do anything else with it, so you can be confident in that. If you'd fill it out and give it to the person at the Connect desk in the foyer when you leave this morning, or to somebody with a black Impact Church shirt on, they'll take care of that for you. Or better still, take it to the Connect Lounge down the back. The Connect Lounge, we invite you there. We want to host you straight after the service for some coffee and some food. And I'm looking forward to that. So if you could meet us there, that'd be wonderful. And you'll get to meet some of our leaders and enjoy some food and coffee. Okay, why don't you turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Ecclesiastes. Try saying that with false teeth, if you've got them. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verse 8. We're going to conclude today this series we've been doing called I Have Decided. I Have Decided. It's a series that we've been looking at. This is the fourth week now, about some of the important decisions, the major decisions, critical decisions that we need to be making, particularly as we come into the way we want to live in a new year. A new year is, it's like a calendar moment that God graciously gives us, where we get to reset things and reboot things and live very intentionally in some specific areas of our lives. And, you know, I think that there's decisions we can all make to do some things a little bit better. Anyone think that? Anyone agree with me with that? There's some areas of life where we could just do it a little bit better, and that's the purpose of this series. So week one, where we launched our fast, we talked about the need to get closer to Jesus this year. And do the journey very intentionally with Jesus. Not just attend church, but have a real dynamic relationship with Jesus. Week two, we talked about the importance of actually being a follower. Because you're only following if you're actually following. I'm sure some think they're following, but they're not really following. They're actually asking God to follow them more than them follow God. They've inverted it. And so we want to get it the right way and learn to be an intentional follower of Jesus Christ. Week three, we talked about discovering and living our lives with purpose and on purpose. And so week three was all about purpose. Today I want to conclude with the next most important decision of our lives, the next most important decision that really frames so much about who we are and the quality of life that we live and enjoy, and our friendships and everything are defined by this. Today it's all about our relationships. And we're talking about this because it's our relationships and our connections that really shape us and they make us. They shape us and they make us. Now the truth is, God intended every relationship we have to be a blessing, not a burden. But you and I know, if you walk the pathway of relationships with anybody or any group long enough, there's an opportunity for what God intended to be a blessing to actually become a burden. Don't anyone amen right now. Is an opportunity for what God intended to be a blessing to actually become a burden. We've all experienced pain and grief and loss and sorrow, hardship from various relationship connections that we've had along the journey of life. And the reason for that is because it's part of the pathway. It's part of the pathway of growing up. It's part of the pathway of developing mature relationships. In actual fact, you don't know how mature your relationship is until you come into disagreement, or you come into friction, or you come into some seasons of challenge and difficulty. You don't know how strong your faith is till you're squeezed. You really don't know what you got till it's under pressure. And the amazing thing is that, like a piece of fruit, you take a piece of fruit and you put it under pressure and you squeeze the juice out of it. It's amazing what comes out of it when pressure is applied. And the same is true in a relationship, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a working arrangement, whatever it might be. Our relationships in church, with leadership, with pastors, until there's a little bit of pressure. Like people say to me, I love you, you're the greatest pastor in all the world, you're the best preacher. You know, all that goes out the window the moment there's friction. All of a sudden, I'm not their pastor. It's amazing. Friction highlights the depth of the connection. Friction highlights the quality of the relationship. So don't be afraid of friction. It's actually a healthy thing if you work it through and if you work it out. The trouble with friction for many people is that they end up concluding that their relationships are disposable. And if we're going to live that kind of disposable relationship journey with the people that we connect with, we're going to find ourselves very, very lonely. And the truth is, there's a lot of lonely people in the world that are in crowds, that are in families, that are in churches, that are trying to journey in life, but they're just lonely. And psychologists tell us today that loneliness now is a designated disease. It's an actual disease that people live with and have trouble coping in life because of the depth of loneliness. This needs to be a house where loneliness is dispersed and dealt with, and people are given the opportunity to connect relationally with other people from all walks and talks of life. God wants us to live in rich and robust relationship. Ecclesiastes 4:8, it says this: there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, and yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling? He asked himself. You know, that little verse, that little statement, that little description of this man's life, it communicates some very powerful truths about loneliness. Number one, loneliness is not good for you. It's not good for you. It's not good for a man to be alone, is what the Bible says. It's not good for you. It's not good for us to feel that sense of isolation. It's not good for us to feel a level of disconnection and discontent. It's not good for us to be just walking away from connections and relationships. It's not good to live with that sense of these are disposable in my life. The other thing it really reveals is this, is that toil in and of itself and working for wealth in and of itself is never going to satisfy. Now, the truth is, money does make you a little bit happy. Can we just be honest? I mean, have you ever not had any? It doesn't make you happy not to have any. So it kind of does make you happy, but as long as it's gathered around purpose, as long as it's connected with purposeful living and the sharing with the people that you love and the people that you're in connection and relationship. But if you're in loneliness, money's not going to make you happy. If you're lonely, toil and wealth and business doesn't make you happy. It's people and God that make us happy. It's people and God that make life rich. God first, people second. When we have those relationships in order, we can live a rich life. So here's my thought today. Lean in and embrace relationship at all levels. Lean in and embrace relationship at all levels. Here's some excuses as to why people avoid relationships and walk away even from relationships. Number one, their temperament or their personality. And people will think, well, I'm just shy and I'm awkward around people. You know, I can't talk to people. I'm socially challenged when it comes to being around people. Can I give you some big news today? It's awkward for everybody. Relationship is awkward for everybody. Everybody gets nervous talking to new people. Everybody gets nervous talking to people they don't know that well. Everybody gets nervous when they've got to sit down with somebody that's a new acquaintance. And there's only one way to break the ice, and that is to break the ice. It is to own the sense of, I want to be a friendly person. I want to be reaching out to people. So don't use your temperament as something to hide behind. Don't use your personality as something to hide from people with. Stay leaning in, connecting with people, and you will break through. Number two is fear. A lot of people use the sense of fear, thinking, well, what if people don't like me? This is a big one. What if people don't like me? You know, the truth is, and it's big news for some of us, and when I first discovered this, it wounded me, not everyone likes us. Not everyone's going to like us. Not everyone's going to like me. Not everyone's going to like you. And that's just the reality. It's not about everyone liking us, but it's about us having some people that are special in our world. Now, in terms of church, there are no perfect people here. No perfect people here. So don't be afraid of relationships, thinking, well, I'm not good enough, or if they only knew who I was and where I've been. And well, there's no perfect people here. Everyone here has issues. I have issues. You have issues. We have issues. And if you don't think you've got issues, that's your issue. Isn't that true? If you don't think you've got issues, that is your issue exactly. We've all got issues. And so don't fear the embracing of relationship. It's tough for everyone in terms of engaging and forming new relationships. Past experiences is another excuse that people use when it comes to relationship avoidance, where somebody has hurt them or somebody has burnt them in some way, and the pain of that bad moment, that bad season, that bad connection, that bad relationship has really affected you. Here's the deal. Can I say this about that? That when that happened to you, it wasn't just about you and that person. It was about much more than that. You see, the devil's here to actually spoil what God intended to be really rich in our lives and to be a great blessing in our life, and to turn it into a permanent burden where we live separated from the ones that God wants us to live joined to and joined with. He tries to polarize so much about our relationships. And so the devil wasn't out and about just to destroy that relationship. He was actually out and about to destroy you from all relationships, to get you to a point of loneliness, to get you a point of absolute disconnection, of becoming an island and doing the journey on yourself. And he wanted you to disconnect from the very thing that God gave you to bring so much joy in your life. So don't ever let a past experience where someone burnt you, someone hurt you, be the excuse or the reason that I'm never going to lean in towards relationship or connection again. What about busyness? The person that thinks, I just don't have time. I don't have time for relationship. I don't have time for connection for people. I just don't have room for it. Well, if that's you, you need to learn to build margin in your world, in your calendar, in your time, so that you're connecting with the people around your world that are valuable to you and the new relationships and connections that God wants to bring into your world. If it's important, you make time. If it's important, you make time. Sleep is important, so I make time for that. Eating food is important, so I make time for that. I have an appointment straight after this meeting. With food, it's in my diary. It's important to me. If you don't think it's important, try going without it. That was a test of fasting. You found out how important it was within about 2 hours of starting the journey. And you're thinking, 21 days? 21 days? It's important. So if it's important to connect with people, to have a relationship with people, what you do is you redesign your time so that you can make time. Why? Because relationships, they shape your life. Relationships, they add substance to your life and they inspire our life. And particularly in church. Church is not just about coming to a building. It's not just about coming to a service. This is not something that we do disengaging from people and just focusing on God. This is God and people. God and people. This is a relationship network. This is putting people together. This is people helping people. This is people looking after people, people caring for people, people sharing with each other, hospitality and generosity flowing freely. This is what church is, and people are so much a part of it. Let me read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. It says, "The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers." Most important of all, when it says those words, you probably want to listen. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. This is written to the church. Deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. In other words, Peter, the great apostle here, is writing and saying that we need to do life and we need to do church in circles, not just lines. In circles, not just lines. You know, doing church in lines is what we're doing right now. In lines, you sit there theatre style staring at the back of someone's head. If you don't like the view, find a new seat. You know, we do it in lines. You look, you listen, we engage in some level, we interact in some level, but someone's speaking to you. When you're in circles, everybody's got the floor. When you're in circles, it's relational. When you're in circles, it's friendly. When you're in circles, it's warm, it's hospitable. There's so many different things and better things that happen in circles. And so we need to learn to do the circles really, really well and not just do theatre style and not just do lines really well. Because as I said, church is much more than just attending a Sunday service. This discipleship journey, it's a journey of gathering in circles together, of following and building relationship with each other and with God together in agreement. Most important of all, he says, continue to show deep love for each other. He says, open up your home, show hospitality, open your heart and your house and use your spiritual gift to help and bless others. Serve each other is what he says with your gifts. Why? Because that kind of love covers a multitude of sins. In other words, it's a welcoming love that means you don't have to be perfect to belong. Come on in and we're going to care for you. Come on in and we're going to protect, and cover is what we're going to do. Relationships provide people in your world that will protect you and people in your world that will cover you. So here's four relationship decisions I think we need to make. Each of them is preceded by the phrase, "I have decided." That's what the series is called. I have decided. So number one, I've decided to nurture my important relationships. I've decided to nurture my important relationships. Your marriage, your children, your family. It's very important to nurture your friendships. These are your most important relationships. Outside of your relationship with God is your marriage, your children, your family, and your friendships. And these are relationships that we are to constantly and continuously add value to, because they are priority relationships for every person and certainly for every follower of Jesus Christ. One of the things I love about church, and I was sitting with somebody yesterday who said one of the things that they love about our church, and they were reflecting about how somebody else in their family doesn't have a church like this, is the fact that we have a sense of family in church life, but you only have it to the level that you invest in it. Here's the deal. You can be in a family and still be lonely. You can be in a family and still be offsided. You can be in a family and still be polarized. So you can be in the family but not of the family. And it's the same in church. You only get the family feels if you're leaning into family. Because the moment I say we have a good family feel, there's undoubtedly some here today that think, well, yeah, I'm not feeling that. Well, you only feel what you lean into. Like the Bible says, if you want to get friends, be friendly. If you want to get friends, be friendly. And you can be around the most friendly people in the world, but if you're unfriendly, guess what you're going to feel? Unfriendliness. Why? Because it comes out of you. It comes out of you. And oftentimes it's what comes out of us that spoils the connections and relationships that we are involved in on a daily basis. So firstly, I've decided to nurture and develop my important relationships. Secondly, I've decided to restore broken relationships. Here's a challenge. I've decided to restore my broken relationships. It's the pain of unresolved conflict that is much greater than the pain of resolving it. The pain of unresolved conflict is much greater than the pain of resolving it. Oftentimes people won't resolve a relationship because they think it's too painful. Well, it's actually more painful not to resolve it. It's more painful to neglect it. It's more painful to avoid it than it is to go there and do whatever you have to do to try and resolve it. The truth is irreconcilable differences are only irreconcilable because people refuse to reconcile. Irreconcilable differences are only irreconcilable because we refuse to reconcile. To reconcile takes negotiation. To reconcile takes admission. To reconcile takes repentance. To reconcile takes grace. It takes forgiveness. Posture has to change when you want to reconcile with people. And so often the pain that we currently experience is much greater than the pain of actually fixing it. And so we're always better off doing what we can do to fix it, to do what we can do to make it right and not carry the records of wrongs against the people in our world. Romans 12 says this in verses 17 and 18. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. It's not how we walk as believers. It's not a matter of revenge. It's not a matter of you wait until I get my moment. I'm going to have my moment. They got it coming. He's got it coming. She's got it coming. We don't live like that. We don't walk like that. Paul says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So as much as it depends on you. Because here's the deal, it's not just about you, it's about another person. And you cannot, and I cannot, control any other person. We can't make anyone do what we want them to do. So that's why Paul says, as much as it is possible with you, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So resolving conflict, it's not an event, it's a lifestyle. It's how we live. We live resolving conflict because here's a prophecy, conflict will surely come. It will surely come. Jesus said offenses will surely come. It's part of the pathway and the journey of life. We don't ever imagine that. You don't imagine that when you get married. And you're at the altar, and it's I do, and it's wonderful. And then you come into your first moment of conflict about an hour after the wedding. And you're looking at each other thinking, who are you even? Like, the conflict opportunities that we have. Or with a friend, the misunderstanding that can happen with a friend and the conflict that that causes. Or at work, or even at church, the conflict that can happen. Can you believe it? In the house of God, it happens everywhere all around us. But we've got to get really good at doing what we know to do so that we can help ourselves be free and others be free from conflict. So I've decided to restore broken relationships needs to be a decision we all make. Then fourthly, I've decided to sever harmful relationships. The Bible talks about numbers of them, hanging around people that greatly affect your life. Critical people. People that pull people down all the time. If they're doing it in your presence, they're doing it in your absence. And guess who they're pulling down? You. And so critical people, you need to cut them out of your inner core world. Aggressive people, possessive people, gossipers, they all do us harm in the way we do life. And so the wisdom of the Bible is we sever those hurtful, harmful relationships. Proverbs 27:19 says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he's really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. So in other words, our friends preach. Our friends, when we look at the friends that are around our world, they say so much about who we are and the kind of person we want to be and the way that we live our lives. And so choose your friends very, very wisely. Proverbs 13:20 says, become wise by walking with the wise, hang out with fools, and watch your life fall to pieces. If you walk with the wise, you at least have the opportunity of learning wisdom. If you walk with a fool, guaranteed you will become one. It's guaranteed. And so we need to be very cautious about the people that we welcome into our inner core sanctum of our lives. And then fourthly, I have decided to initiate meaningful relationships. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not neglect our meeting together, our gatherings as a church, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. In other words, a church gathering of any kind is an environment where we get to connect not only with God, but also with people. a church gathering of any kind, whether it's Young Royals, whether it's YA Crew who went to the beach yesterday and had an awesome day, whether it's small groups, whether it's a men's group, a women's group, whatever kind of group it is, or whether it's the Next Steps program, or whether it's what we're doing right now in Big Church, whatever it is, it's all about connection, community, oneness, unity, commonness and faith together with people. It's about growing in our connections, growing in our faith, growing in our contribution, and growing in our influence. And the deal is, if you don't go, you don't grow. If you don't get in the environments, you don't grow. This is about us doing this journey and this pathway together. So here's four meaningful relationships to build. Four meaningful relationships to build this year. Number one, church. In our church relationship and our relationship with God's church, don't just come, relate. Don't just go, relate. Really lean in. It's not just a service. In actual fact, the service after the service is just as important as this service. What happens in the cafe, what happens in the Connect Lounge, what happens in different pockets around the room here, these different environments that we join with people in, they are very, very important. Can I encourage you not to be in too much of a hurry to duck off? Not to be too much of a hurry to get home all the time, but to hang around and mix with some people and get to know some people and be friendly to some people. And that just takes a little bit of courage and a sticking out of your hand. Hi, my name's Tony. And introduce yourself and have some conversation and share a coffee and get to know somebody that you may not know that well. It's a place to lean in and linger and connect and relate and belong. Also, in terms of church and our church relationships, can I say this as a pastor? Don't hop, stay. Don't be a church hopper. Some people are church hoppers, and they use regular seasons of opportunity to hop and just disappear. They just disappear off our radar. We follow them up, we call them, we have people around their world who are trying to contact them. They don't call back, they don't respond back, and next thing we hear, they're just hanging out at the new church, thinking a new church is going to solve it. Church doesn't help unless you actually come. It's of no help unless you come. If you belong to a body, you belong to a body. See, I didn't leave my legs home today. I brought them with me. My arms, they go everywhere I go. It's amazing. You know why? It's my body. Care for your body. Look after your body. Care for God's body. Look after His body. So be present and participating in terms of your church relationship and your church connection. Next Steps is not just for those that have nothing to do on a Wednesday night. It's an integral part of how we do the church journey. What we're doing with Trent and the CAP program and teaching people about their money. It's helping to engineer what we can to help people's lives be successful in that financial field so that they have a sense of security with that. And we all need help with that. That's a great thing to do. The other things that we do through Next Steps, the Starting Point Dinner, the Bible classes, the leadership classes, the network course that we teach. They're not just for a small segment of church. They're for all of us to help take our next steps. What about our Connect Group relationship? This is another relationship to build this year. Our Connect Groups start very, very soon. I think they're starting on February 12th, that week. Connect Groups on a Tuesday or a Thursday night. Once again, they're not just for the 20, 30% of church people that, you know, want to do something and get together with people socially. They're for all of us to help us grow. They're the circle meetings that we have. And we've got some things to trick up this year in terms of the way we do our Connects. We're going to be rolling them out and giving you an opportunity en masse to sign up and get involved in Connects at various different seasons throughout this year. Because we want to be intentional about that kind of encouragement, that kind of hospitality that can only happen in somebody's home, that kind of connection that takes place in the living room of somebody's place where everyone's guards is down and we get to know each other, love each other, care for each other and share the journey together. Connect groups are so much fun. They're a place where people will pray with you, pray for you. You can be open and honest and vulnerable and be loved for it. Be loved for it. And it's a beautiful thing to be in connection with Christian people on this journey together in a small group and in a connect group. Are they awkward? Yeah, when you first start. Is it difficult to kind of, you know, get it broken open so that the ice is broken? Yes, it is. But after a little while, you settle in, and it's a beautiful place to belong. So Connect Groups for us are about organic people care, where care happens naturally and normally, and also connection. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. As I just said, my legs come with me today. All members of my body are present and participating. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into exuberance. This year, we all need a relationship in the small. We all need to be involved in a small group and a connect group. So I encourage you deeply to get involved in that. The third relationship is team, that we serve together, be on a team. This is a team sport. Church is a team sport. It's team church that we do, where we have a spirit and a sense of playing and being on a team. It makes our contribution meaningful. It helps us to build together, to belong together, and to become everything that God designed us to be together. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 4. God makes. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its work, own special work. It helps the other parts grow so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. How does the body of Christ, the church, get healthy and growing and full of love? As each part does its own special work. Each part is gifted and each part needs to be joined together, working together, team relationship and team connection to bring the best out of us as individuals and also the best out of us as a church. The last relationship that we really need to build this year is really the most important one, and I'd like to invite our team to come to stage if they would please as I share it. It's the most important one. It's God. I put it last, but it's really the first. And I put it last because we started with this in this series. The most important relationship for you and I this year is to get closer to God, is to lean in more to God and to have a vital, intentional relationship with God. Not just to come to a church service, but to find your way of building your own dynamic relationship with Jesus. I'm really not interested in building a sense of religion or religiosity. I'm very keen to build a sense of relationship for all of us with God. To know God better. To know God personally. Making that decision to lean into that relationship is the most important thing you can do this year. It's not just for 10% of people, 20% of people. Jesus didn't die on a cross for the 10%, the 20%, the 30%. He died on the cross for the entire world, is what we're told. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The invitation is to ask Jesus to come into your life and your heart and your world, and then to continue to walk with him. It begins by saying yes to Jesus, and it continues by saying yes to Jesus all of our days, walking with him, involving God in your world and God in your life. Can we all stand to our feet if we would please? Would you close your eyes for just a moment and just bow your heads if you would. There's relationships in our world that are vitally important. We've talked about them in terms of a family sense and community sense this morning. Our friends, our family, our children, our marriages and, you know, those connections. But your God connection and your church connection is really so important. So important. And this year we want to be very strategic about not just what we do on a Sunday, about also what we do on a small group setting with our connect groups. Be very intentional about what we do with our next steps activities and programs so that we're promoting people along on the journey. We're both inviting and we're promoting. And so the invitation today, firstly, is for those that do not have a dynamic personal relationship with God. Maybe the church thing and the God thing is reasonably new to you. You may have been coming along for a little while. You may have heard parts of it and have some of it worked out. But you don't have, and you haven't said yes to God at this point in time. You haven't invited Jesus to come into your heart and begin this journey in relationship with Him. Well, today's your moment. Today's your opportunity. And today's your day to say yes to Jesus and begin the journey towards healthy connection with God and with people. If you want to say yes to Jesus today, I'm going to invite you in a moment to lift up your hand. Look me right in the eye, and by doing that, you're saying, Pastor, would you please pray for me? It's my time. I need to give my heart to Jesus today. The Bible says if you ask, you'll receive. If you knock, you'll find. And the door will be open to you. Everyone who calls, it says, on the name of the Lord will be saved. Because there's nothing you've got to prove. There's nothing you've got to do besides open up your heart and say, Jesus, yes, come into my life and into my heart. I want to make a decision today. So here's my thought for you. Have you decided? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you taken that first step? This is the first invitation I want to give today. Have you taken that first step? Maybe you did a long time ago and you've fallen well away from it, and today you need to come back and say yes to Jesus afresh today and reestablish your connection and relationship with Him. While every person has their head bowed, their eyes closed, because I want this to be a personal, intimate moment just for you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to lift up your hand and say yes. When I see your hand, you can put your hand down and I'm going to pray for you. You can stay where you are because I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm simply here to invite you today. So if you want to say yes to Jesus today, and today's your time, today's your moment, and have your sin washed away, and begin a journey with God of knowing God, loving God, and asking Him into your life more and more, would you right across this hall lift up your hand? And by doing that, you're saying, yes, Pastor, please pray for me. Just quickly, if that's you, would you lift your hand today? If that's you, you need to begin the journey today. You need to begin the journey today. Is that you? If you need to begin the journey today, lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand, and I'll pray for you before we move on. Okay, secondly, there are some things we need to do to help us continue the journey. The God connections, the church connections, the small group connections, the next step connections, the relationship connections, the stay behind after the service connections that I will build throughout this year to make my whole journey, my whole existence with God far more enriching and enjoyable. Let's make a decision to do that. Let's make a decision to do that. And maybe you just need to make a decision publicly for yourself today that I'm going to do that this year. I'm going to do that this year. I'm going to settle and invest. I'm going to contribute and grow. I need to become a member of a team. I need to serve people with the gift of God that's on my life. I need to embrace the people around my world more and more. I need to break through some barriers that have been holding me back and excuses that I've been using. That's you today. Why don't you lift your hand right across the room? I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for us, if that's you, right across this hall, if that's you. Come on, I'm going to wait for you today because there's numbers of people that need to lift up their hand and make a response to God today in this regard. Is that you? Lift up your hand nice and high, if you would. Last time. Guys, if you can start playing that song for me, that would be great. Thank you. It's a decision. It's a decision of intent to decide to lean in, press in, embrace. It's a most important decision for each one of us to make. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my friends and my family today, Lord, that recognize the value of making this investment, this contribution, responding to your beckoning and your call to lean in more and embrace you and embrace relationship with you and embrace your church and embrace the people around their world in a deeper way, in an intentional way, with a sense of discipleship and fellowship, God, where we find purpose, where we care, where we share, where we're involved, Father, where we work life out together, where we don't walk away, where we don't
wander, where we don't dissolve, where we don't disengage, where we don't isolate, where we don't polarize. But Father, we have open arms and open hearts and open houses, God, and we have open heaven. And the only way to an open heaven is to have an open heart, an open house, and open homes, Father. So we open our hearts that way. We take the instruction of Paul that said not to live so small, but to live wide, expansive, generous lives, to use the gift of God that's on us, to be hospitable and to be generous in every way, to be kind, to be forthcoming, to be forgiving, to be gracious. Lord, to be full of faith and full of vision, to be people that want to go somewhere and do something and build something, not just attend something, to people that want to establish your will and your purpose and your plan here on earth. Help us to be the ones. Help us to be that kind of person, that kind of people is what we pray. Father, open the windows of heaven on our church in 2018 is what we pray. We're not here to hold the fort. We're here to build the kingdom. We're here to do something good and great and mighty for you. We need you, God. We need your hand. We need your blessing. We need your favor. We need your anointing. We need your touch. We need your miracle. We need your provision. We need you. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We need your power. We need your fire. We need your purging. We need your cleansing. We need you, Spirit of God, to come and reign in this place is what we pray. Open our hearts to our city. Open our hearts to our people. Open our hearts to this community. Teach us to lay our lives down and be all in. Teach us to be present and participating. Teach us to give it all, because all is required in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Come on.